And on this Tuesday, March the 12th, in the year of our Lord 2013, we're having another Rumination Day. In case some of you haven't understood what ruminations are, I have with me our famous host, Reverend Mark Smith, to, well, first of all, say hi.
Hi, Tom. I thought you were the host.
No, you're co-host. And if I'm co-host, that means we have two hosts.
I see.
Yes.
Right. Well, glad to be here.
Well, you know,
we finally got a nice day for a change, huh?
Well, I think we've had a number of nice days. But, you know, last week it was in
dreary.
The 60s. But ruminations, what does that refer to?
Well, when we started this months ago, we talked about the cow.
The cow. The
chow. Chewing its cut.
No, the chow cowing its cut.
Yeah. And then it's ruminating. It's getting the most nutrients out of that out of the grass or whatever it's eating.
And yes, so, and it's kind of changed into eavesdropping on pastors talking about current events.
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with cows chewing their cud. But
well, because in, I think it was step number 9 Dr. Charlemagne had, after you do all the spade work in doing a sermon, before you actually start outlining it, you ruminate.
You ruminate, yeah, I remember that. I remember him talking about that.
So that's where we got the rumination from. And since then, I start seeing this word in different places, you know, about thoughts, meditations.
Everybody's just copying you, Tom. You're just so wonderful.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. Okay. Boy, I'm just so glad I'm not as sinful as you. Alrighty. We are... We have open lines here, so if you want to talk about anything in current events and see how pastors respond to them, numbers in St. Louis are 505-7850 and toll free.
Yes, 1-800-730-2727.
You do not have to put a yes in front of that 1-800. People are going to put YES 1-800.
Picky.
Well, you just got here in time.
That's right. I ran it. I'll tell you, the lights were just going. I just couldn't hit the lights right at all today. You know, a lot of times they're with me, but today, every light I hit, I would hit a red light.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that when I'm on time. Yeah, but boy, oh boy.
Oh, when you're down to the minute. No kidding.
Oh, my. First item we're going to be taking a look at is, this is kind of interesting. The title of the article is Hatred Against Jews Increases by Lauren Marco from RNA or RNS, Religious News Service. And they basically talk about 1/3 of Europeans still hold anti-Semitic beliefs. Now,
it's too bad. You know, I mean, that's...
Yes.
You always hate to hear about that.
The first paragraph, an advertisement in Athens intertwines a swastika with a Jewish star. Hungarian politicians declare Jews a national security risk, and a gunman executes 3 children and a rabbi at a Jewish school in France. Now, they say... Nearly 70 years after the Holocaust, it has again become socially acceptable to vilify Jews. And they're having some committee hearings in Washington about this.
Socially acceptable to vilify the Jews?
Yes.
This is in Europe?
Yes. For example, a question was asked, do you believe Jews hold too much power over the world's international financial markets? And in France, nearly 1/3 of those surveyed agreed.
Wow.
29%.
Boy.
So.
That's in France.
That's in France. But then certainly in Egypt, they've got a bunch of places.
Egypt never did like the Jews.
No. Somebody said this is pretty good, Elisa Massimino. While criticism of Israeli government policies or those of any other government is legitimate discourse, it crosses the line when it disparages or demonizes Jews as people. And you'll be surprised. The 60% of the world's Jewish population were in Europe prior to the Holocaust. But today, the vast majority of the world's 13.4 million Jews live in, where do you think?
Well,
Israel.
Well, I was going to say Israel or...
North America.
Or, well, I know...
Those two.
New York, you know, has a lot of Jewish...
Yes, population. In North America. And instead of the large number they had before in Europe, there's only 0.2% of Europe's population now is Jewish.
Only 0.2%?
That's it.
Of Europe's population?
Yes.
Boy.
Yeah. France has the largest European Jewish population, 485,000 people. But 24% of French people surveyed subscribe to anti-Semitic beliefs, up from 20% in the 2009 survey. So it's actually growing.
You know, now, you know, see what you think of that. But I always feel like Jewish population is an asset to a country. I mean, I think of them as being a highly intelligent people by and large, and contributing greatly to a society. I can't understand why Europe doesn't see that.
Well,
especially after, you know, they've been so bad about that in the past.
Right. I think part of it, and almost everything is driven in the world by...
money.
Yes. And, you know, we're going through a time right now that you, even in the United States, have protests in the street about the multimillionaires. And, you know, rich people are just looked down upon. And because the Jewish people do have a gift in that area of being able to handle money, and that's where they got involved mostly.
Good businessmen.
Yeah, it just, people look down on them.
Right.
You know, probably for that reason. Yet, it was kind of interesting that very rarely do you see an article about how many Christians are being killed for their faith, even today, in the world. Just thousands every month.
I've heard, too, that persecution is stronger now than ever than it's ever been.
Now, for some time, there were even Christians who believed that Jews were having this problem because they killed Jesus. So let's talk about that. Is the Bible correct in that the Jews were responsible for the death of Jesus?
We are all responsible. It's all of our sins that got him nailed to the cross.
Yeah, there's a real interesting... I'm going to be doing the Lord's Supper for the next Sunday school lesson next week. And in there, one of the articles starts off that I was reading that it's... among many people, they have the view that Christians think that they're better people than other people. But the fact of the matter, as the article went on, is that a true Christian believes he's really a poor, miserable sinner.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And that he's not a better person.
No. In fact, you know, the more enlightened he is, the more spiritually mature he is, the more he realizes what a poor, miserable sinner he is and how much he depends upon the mercy and grace of God, his forgiveness.
Yes, I mean, how many other religions start off their worship services with, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment"?
Yeah.
You see, they're afraid to say that because then they think, uh-oh, I'm not going to win my salvation. So I think it's really important that you're correct. Historically, there's no doubt the Jewish leaders, especially the Sanhedrin, they were the ones kind of responsible for bringing Jesus to Pontius Pilate and having him crucified. However, Jesus died for the sins of everybody.
That's right.
So that he not only was hanging on the tree because of what the Jews did, but also because of what the Romans did and what the Britons did and what everybody did.
Would it be wrong, Tom, what do you think? I'm asking you this question. Would it be wrong to say that the Sanhedrin did us a favor by turning Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified? Would that be a wrong thing to say?
I think so, because it gives the impression that God made sure they would. Because only God gives us favors. I've always said, if Jesus came to Earth in 2012, was born, or let's say he was born in 1996, in 2021, he would be executed somehow.
Yes, he would. You're right.
Yeah. So it really doesn't matter when it happened. And when God in the Old Testament looks forward into the future and sees one of him betraying him, and the Jewish nation at that point despising him, had he come at the time just before the Babylonian captivity, look what happened to the prophets. Jesus himself says they themselves were stoned and hacked to death and killed. So it really doesn't matter that he did us a favor. I think the only favor you'd want to give anybody credit for would be God.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've always felt that we're greatly indebted to the Jewish people for having had such a part in preserving the Old Testament scriptures for us. I mean, we have the scriptures. Of course, God was in overarching the whole process of inspiring the scriptures, preserving them for us. But didn't the Jewish people have a large part to play in that, in preserving the scriptures so meticulously? If you look at the Masoretes, you look at the Old Testament, and see how meticulously they would count the page to make sure they had the right number of letters on each page and each line.
They would know the middle word of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They would know the middle letter, and they were.
And you compare the Dead Sea Scrolls and see how little change there is in 1,000 years in those manuscripts.
But so also is the New Testament, and that was also due to Gentiles. I still like to think that God was behind all that.
Of course.
Because he's the one who chose the Jews. And remember the reason why he chose them? Because they were the most stubborn people on earth. Yes.
Same reason why he chose you, right?
Exactly. He always tends to choose someone that after somebody
that won't
sees
give in.
The choice, God gets all the credit.
That's true. You're right. He deserves all the credit with you. That's for sure.
That's right. I thank you for that. Don't give any to my wife. I appreciate that. No, the fact is that God's choices always are to the point where he does get the credit. He is a jealous God in the sense that he wants everybody to know that if you're saved, it's all his work.
It's all his work.
Not so much because of a jealousy in a negative sense, but if you take away any of it, you're giving it to the devil somehow. And that's really what his biggest fight is. So it is wrong theology to think that Jews are being vilified today because they were participating in the death of the Christ.
In fact, you know, it's long been a tradition. If you look at our hymnals, our agendas, altar books, it's long been a tradition to pray specifically for the Jewish people on Good Friday. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's long been a tradition. I don't know whether it's been followed as much as it should be, but it's there.
Well, the other thing we need to remember is Jesus was a Jew.
Right. Absolutely.
As was Matthew and John and Paul. You know, Paul, I was just...
Pharisee of Pharisees.
Hebrews. We talked about that on Monday. In regard to the righteousness of the law, I was perfect, he says.
In fact, let's think. How many of those New Testament books were written by Gentiles, we think? Now, Luke very possibly was he a Gentile? I forget. I tend to think of him as a Gentile.
He wasn't one of the disciples.
No, I know that.
Yeah, so that's quite possible. He was a doctor. So,
outside of him, I can't think of any others. Can you?
No, but I can't think of anybody in the Old Testament that wasn't Jewish either.
No, I don't.
Was Moses Jewish? Well, actually,
are you kidding?
Actually, he wasn't.
Well, if you consider
he was
if
Hebrew.
You consider that you're right. I know you're distinguishing the Hebrews and Jews, right? And
the Jews didn't
Jews start after the Babylonian captivity. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not really. Remember the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
And that occurred before the Babylonian captivity.
Right.
because they were the only ones left. The 10 tribes, the northern ones.
10 tribes of...
Yeah, you know, we don't know what happened to them.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's all kinds of guesses. We won't go into that right now. But the other thing we need to be aware of, we have a lot of Jewish people who are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Absolutely, yeah.
In other words, when we talk about Jews, I think this vilification of Jews is regardless of their religion, if they're Christian or if they're Jewish. If they're rich and they handle money, there just seems to be a hatred towards the Jews of today as well as other rich people. And that's because of the class warfare going on, particularly among politicians, as they try and get votes.
Well, there's no room for that in the church.
No.
Obviously.
There's no room at all for that in the church. But put it this way, it definitely happens among Christians.
Oh, yeah. We're
yeah, guilty. That we look we're down guilty. On people because they have things we don't have, and we can look on that. And probably among rich people, they look down on poor people because they're not working for a living, a lot of them, when they could, this sort of thing. That's what they might think, too. So it's kind of interesting. The point we want to make from a theological point of view, there's no theological reason that Jews are being punished by God today.
No.
Because the point I want to make is a number of them who are being punished are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're Jewish. It's always been a problem, is being a Jew a religion or a nationality? Because on the one hand, you get people like Sammy Davis Jr.
Right, who became a Jew, who became Jewish.
And that would be because of the religion.
Right.
Whereas on the other hand, you have, you've got a good Jewish pastor friend here.
Right,
in town.
Kevin Parvee.
Yeah, and where's his church?
In Dogtown, right over in Dogtown.
Yeah, it's on Clayton, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you're looking, I think it's around the 60...
Clayton. It's on Clayton.
Clayton Road, 1600 block somewhere. It's you know...
It's on Clayton Avenue, right?
Yeah, but it's very... Yeah.
It's in Dogtown.
Near Dogtown, yeah.
He's a good pastor.
Yeah, I've gone to his service there twice, you know, in visitation and such. And the first time he wasn't there... he was on a trip, and they traveled quite a bit. But we have other groups, Jews for Jesus, etc. So
good group, yes.
These are people that God loves, just as he loves, you know, all sinners. Moving over from Jews to Roman Catholics, and we're not going to talk about the Pope right now, because they're voting right now.
Yes.
The last Pope, it took... 4 votes before he was elected.
Is that right? I know it
took 24 hours.
I know this century they haven't taken more than about 5 days.
Yeah.
It's been a century since it was more
Very
than
few Easters don't have a pope in place. So I think the timing was done so that mm-hmm. by Holy Week they'll have a pope. But we'll talk about that when it gets to that. This here was another very interesting. 5 lay Catholic bishops... or 5 key Catholic bishops are opposing the newly authorized Violence Against Women Act. Now, when you first hear that, you would say, why...
Sounds like a pretty safe stance to take.
Yeah. Should we not...
We're not against...
...vote for an act that says violence against women is wrong? Well, the problem here... the original act became law in 1994, and it spells out that now it's got a new change in it. Spells out that no person may be excluded from the law's protections because of sexual orientation or gender identity, because it was specifically rewritten to cover lesbian, transgender, and bisexual women. And the Catholic bishops, and I really agree with them here, say that this is going to really cause confusion
right.
A lot here, because these new classifications are unnecessary to establish the just protections due to all persons, and they undermine the meaning and importance of sexual difference. They are unjustly exploited for purposes of marriage redefinition. And marriage is the only institution that unites a man and a woman with each other and with any children born from their union. So there's no conscious protection also issue for faith-based group that, for example, help victims of human trafficking. So the point is this, is we could get to a point where when you're preaching, according to the scripture, that lesbianism is a sin.
Right.
And marriage between two sexes is a sin in Almighty God's eyes, that could come under this law.
Yeah.
And
that's already kind of what's happened in Canada, is it not?
Yeah, they have a lot less, how shall I put it, a lot less protection for religion, because they don't have the amendment we have about speech. I don't see, here's where the line is drawn. You could hope that no matter what you say, you're protected. But unfortunately, that can't be realistically, because if you're in a
crowded theater or something
and yell fire,
right,
you've only said the word fire, but you'll be held responsible if there's no fire.
And rightly so.
And so what they're looking at is if you speak out against lesbians and homosexuals and then people do violence against them, are you to be held responsible for that violence, even though you didn't participate in it? See, that's where we're really getting a problem. And until this law becomes clear that Christian teaching, and by the way, also Muslim and a lot of Jewish teaching opposes homosexuality and gay marriage, until that occurs, it's going to be very interesting, you know, how something like this would happen and take place. Let's kind of go to the phone lines right now, and we just got time for one caller. Hello, James, are you on?
Yes, I'm on. I was going to ask Pastor Mark to kind of tell me about Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53, and yourself, Pastor, to tell me about Romans 11, 16 through 18. Could we say that the Jews were prophetically involved in the rejection of the message and the Holy One himself? And that's not to say that it's right to blame the earthly persecutions on some sort of prophetic act, but the grafting back in of the people, not a church, is something to look forward to.
Okay, well, let me talk to Mark about that. You want to do your Acts 7? Read it first, Mark, and then...
I'll read it, beginning with verse 51. Acts chapter 7. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it.
Now, the question is, to whom is he speaking? He is not speaking to just to Jews, like Mary, Joseph, Zacharias, Simeon, Anna. Who's he speaking to?
He's talking about those that have rejected Christ.
That's right. Unbelievers.
Right.
And so that verse could never be used to...
to condemn the whole people.
Exactly. Well said. Because it's not talking to the whole people. It's talking to a distinct... It would be like talking to German Nazis. And somebody says, oh, so you hate all Germans. No. But I certainly hate those that put people in
right.
jail and killed them without due process.
Right.
The Romans 11, 16, 18, let me read that one. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root supports you. Here, Paul is writing to Romans, who are Gentiles. And he is saying, there's no doubt that some of you were wild olive trees and you were brought in. But don't boast against Jews. because you weren't brought in because you're better than the Jews. You're just as sinful.
He says, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so,
if you reject him, of course.
I think in the context, and you know, we believe the Bible, but in context, because you can about prove anything from the Bible. You can even prove there's a verse, there is no God, says in the Bible.
Right.
But it continues, says the fool in his heart. But if you leave that part out, you become like the devil in the Garden of Eden. So I think James has given us two good verses to show that there's no real foundation in the Bible for speaking about Jews as a people. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. And then in regard to this acts against violence against women, we need to make sure that we protect our amendment rights to speak as the Word of God would have us, so to speak. Guess what?
We're out of time.
We're out of time, and what's going on Wednesday in your Lenten service?
Wednesday, I've drawn a blank. I'm working on it, though.
Okay. Tomorrow we're going to talk about aesthetics, and you would say, what has that got to do with theology? Well, I'll tell you. The theologian of glory looks at it differently than the theologian of the cross, and that's our topic for tomorrow. Until then, Pastor Mark Smith and I, Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.